From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Sylvain Goyette.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. We're back for one more week in a row here with Sylvain. He's back here visiting from Canada again. We don't have our normal studio because they are moving to a fancy, new, awesome, big studio.
I'm not lucky. Last time I was here, we were in your office.
It's true. We had a scheduling mix-up that time. We couldn't use the studio. This time, there is no studio. They're in between buildings. But it's going to be awesome when they get there. Maybe next time you're back in town, we'll have the fancy new studio. But we are in a beautiful building here on campus. This is building 83, which has it's one of my favorite places. A lovely atrium behind us here. So you're back here. We're going to talk about some more perf stuff. Last week we did some Ubi tracing, and now we got something else here.
Yeah, so this is more for the app developers out there, or maybe some system builders that are authoring some first-party apps based on the UWP. Framework, Universal Windows Platform. Formerly known as Windows Store Apps, formerly known as Modern Apps.
Changing the name, don't they?
Yeah, I just want to give you guys a high-level overview of what the toolkit can provide for you in terms of performance analysis. And when I say toolkit, I mean, as always, the ADK, the assessment toolkit.
Your baby.
Yeah. And the Windows Performance Toolkit, right? Yeah. WPA and WPR to record and analyze traces.
And WPA and WPR are included in the ADK, right?
So available on MSDN.
You download it all, you get the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right.
So, high-level overview, because we could spend multiple hours, and maybe in the future we could record more specific videos on specific issues regarding responsiveness of apps, but there's a lot of good resources out there on Channel 9, and we'll include the links below this video.
Yeah.
So the first thing, when you develop an app and you want to do performance analysis, is to be aware that in WPR, there are some specific providers you could enable, whether your app is authored in XAML or HTML.
Okay.
There are two scenarios, right? Two providers in WPR that you can enable.
So depending on which kind of app it is. Okay.
So we can open WPR on your system. Yeah, we got this TV turning off every 5 minutes.
We don't understand why the TV turns itself off. Okay. There we go. Okay.
And so let me open WPR. And so we've seen this in previous episodes, right? Around boot, CPU analysis, disk analysis.
Yeah, this is like our go-to perf tracing tool.
I
love it. It's all GUI-based. It's easy.
So this is the UI you get when you install the ADK. But as you guys may know, maybe I've mentioned it in the past, it now ships in-box with Windows 10. You don't have to install the ADK to get WPR tracing capabilities.
Very nice.
The command line tool is included with Windows. Mm-hmm. So if you have a problem in the field, you don't have the ADK with you, want to trace some specific problem you have with one app, you could just open a command line prompt as admin.
Uh-huh.
You need to elevate, right? And you have the WPR command line tool available, so you can start tracing.
And that ships in box.
Yeah. Nice. So any dev out there without the ADK can gather traces.
Gather them, but you still need the ADK to
read
the traces.
Yeah. So that's pretty useful. I mean, anybody can get a trace even at home without installing anything.
Very nice.
So if your app is authored with XAML, whether it's C++, Visual Basic. Mm-hmm. You have XAML app responsiveness analysis scenario under the scenario tab here.
Okay.
And if your app is authored in HTML and JavaScript, you would just select the HTML responsiveness analysis provider. And those are scenarios, right? They're not the same as resource analysis. Like if you look at CPU usage, basically enables only CPU specific providers.
Right, very targeted.
Very targeted for one resource. The scenarios here are really all the providers, whether it's memory, disk, video, GPU,
Your
graphic stacks that you would need to analyze this specific scenario.
So this is more like a package of providers.
Yes. It's all not using WPRP files in the back, in the shadows, but.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the others, I guess, are packages of providers, but they're more targeted to a specific resource, where this is more a set of resources.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, for example, I'm going to launch the weather app, an inbox app.
Sure.
That's written in XAML, so it would select this.
Okay.
And I would start tracing.
Okay.
I'm tracing in the background, as you would normally do. And let me launch the weather inbox app.
Open
so renders,
fast.
Yeah, it opens fast. Yeah. And then you could play with the UI, scroll, and then you just want to go through this, the common use cases your users will normally go through.
Okay.
Weather, in this case, it's look up the weather for a different city.
Sure.
Look at the hour by hour forecast. Yeah. Whatever the user would go through normally with this app, and you just want to make sure that it's responsive, it's snappy, it's smooth, and people are satisfied with the experience.
Right.
And as a dev, I would recommend that you test on entry-level systems.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, low end.
We work with partners, and a lot of them will either test in VMs, right, or high end. They test on their own workstations that are usually pretty good, fast machines. Mm. But you need to test on entry-level systems where most of the users, will be using your app.
Good.
Two cores, CPU, Celeron class, a Core i3. Rotational drives, and verify that even on those systems, it's still snappy and responsive.
There's a good reason to keep those 3-4 year old machines, sitting in the corner, pull them out and do perf tracing on them, right? Because that's what a lot of users are still running, right?
Yes, they do. And then we would save the trace, right? So once we've went through all those scenarios we want to analyze or repro, we save the trace, and we'll be able to open it with WPA.
Okay.
And I just want to show you, what types of providers or KPIs or graphs you get in WPA that we didn't see with the boot session or the memory analysis session.
Yeah, because we do get different providers, you get different graphs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So in this case, when you build an app, this is not a WPF app written in .NET or native, C++ app. Mm-hmm. You're leveraging the HTML or the XAML subsystems, right?
Okay.
And there's a lot of work that happens in those frameworks on your behalf.
Oh,
so
right.
In XAML, you declare your UI components in XAML, you have some code, but a lot of the layout and rendering and composition is done by the XAML framework.
Part of the framework. Yeah.
So sometimes there's a responsiveness issue because your UI is not optimized. It could be optimized. You may have some overlays. You're overdrawing. You may have multiple UI components on top of each other with some level of transparency. And on low-end systems where the GPU is not fast enough, mm-hmm. that could cause, for example, GPU-bound problems.
Okay.
And there's pretty good documentation that we'll link to on MSDN on how to optimize your XAML-based apps or your HTML-based app. Just want to give you a taste of what's possible here.
Great. Okay.
So we'd open the trace with WPA.
All right.
And hopefully it won't take too long. This is a brand new system, so it should be quick.
Yeah, it's a new ThinkPad, Core i7.
Yeah, nice. I love it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we have our trace open, and we have some inbox profiles that we can use. So when you get WPA, there are some views, pre-canned views that we ship the product with.
Okay.
That you can use to just open multiple analysis tabs with all the right views that you would normally need to do this kind of analysis.
Okay.
So to load them, you go to the profile menu. You click apply, browse catalog, and you have two profiles here, one for HTML responsiveness analysis, and the other one for XAML.
Okay.
In this case, it's a XAML
app,
so I would open that. And I would get multiple tabs.
Okay.
So I'll just focus on what we haven't seen in the past. So let's wait for that to load.
Okay.
And we have the big picture tab.
Big picture.
Yeah. So this is really the top level view that would help us diagnose a responsiveness problem.
Okay.
We have the Windows in focus view. So basically, you want to as I've mentioned before, you want to remove all the noise. You want to focus on your scenario. In this case, we don't care when the app was not on the foreground, right? So you can use Windows in Focus to really focus on the region where the user was actually using the app. Mm-hmm. So let's zoom in. And we have DWM frame details, GPU utilization. Oh. And we can see if the the graphics, the desktop window manager is busy, if it's able to render at 60 frames a second. Mm-hmm. We can take a look at whether or not the GPU is pegged at 100% or having any problems there. And then we have CPU usage and disk usage. We've seen those before, right? Mm-hmm. And here we can see that there's GPU activity only at the beginning of the interval. This is because I just launched the app,
It was showing all the animation.
It's creating the layout, the composition, and rendering on the screen. Mm-hmm. So there's more activity there. Mm-hmm. But basically, you want to look at those regions, right? When you're interacting with the UI, you're scrolling, creating, you're navigating to a new page. Opening, clicking on the controls, the UI will change, and this is where you want to make sure it's smooth. All right. So the first thing to look for is look at the DWM frame rate and make sure it's able to render at 60 frames a second. Mm-hmm. So let me expand this a bit. So as you can see here, we have the frame rate.
60s.
Yeah, so it's able to render at 60 frames a second pretty much all the time, except this region here, right? Yeah. So that's for 200 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. May not be noticeable by the user, may not be a huge problem here, but if you were seeing 10 frames a second for 1 second, that's a glitch. The user will feel that.
Will see that. It'll feel choppy and unresponsive.
Exactly. So you would zoom in those regions where the DWM is not able to render at 60 frames a second. Okay. So in that case, pretty much everything looks normal except that small region. But it's small enough that it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's the first graph and the first symptom you would look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take a look at GPU utilization.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And let's zoom into region. So here it looks like the GPU is fully utilized, right? There's spikes all the time.
Spikes all the way up to 100 periodically.
But that's actually a normal pattern. If I zoom in,
I see.
I have small spikes, small transient spikes, right? That there's activity, then it goes away, activity goes away. Mm-hmm. So here, the GPU is doing some work, and that work needs to be done on time for frame rendering.
Right.
The V-syncs. So every 16 milliseconds or so, if we're rendering at 60 frames a second, there needs to be a fully composited, rendered UI ready on time for that V-sync to be shown to the user.
Right.
So that's a healthy pattern. So I see activity and it goes away and it's periodic.
Periodic,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the frame is always ready on time.
Right.
If I was to see some spikes that last for very long amount of time, I don't know, for 60 milliseconds. That's longer than a frame should take.
And that's going to cause a visible glitch.
Glitch, yeah. Oh, okay. So again, this is where you would focus your attention. Mm-hmm. You identify those regions where the GPU is utilized more than it should. And it's probably because, again, you're overdrawing. Your UI is too complex, so you should simplify your UI structure.
Mm-hmm.
And again, good documentation on that on MSDN.
And this is a pretty high-end machine. It's it's onboard graphics, integrated graphics, but it's still pretty new and pretty fast. So here again, this may work fine here, but if you were to run this on some old machine,
Celeron class, then
you might see more problems. Maybe you need to optimize.
This is a 3 GHz Core i7, so we wouldn't see any problems here. But so in the future, what I would like to do is focus on specific issues and diagnose reproducible issues, maybe with dummy processes. But again, this is just top-level view, what's possible.
Yeah.
And so the other view that may be useful is if we go down, so we have CPU usage, Spusage sample. So we've seen those before.
Mm-hmm.
But let's switch tab to frame analysis. There's a view called CPU usage attributed. XAML UI thread CPU breakdown. So if I expand this, so here we see the vSyncs that I've mentioned earlier. So if I zoom in, we'll see the, let's zoom further. Okay, let's select, I don't know, maybe 20 of those.
Okay.
And we can see the vSyncs. And I got two of them because I'm projecting.
Oh, right.
And I see the schedule update frame. So there's one frame every vSync, right? Here I missed one.
Oh, wow.
Maybe the work was not ready on time, right?
There's a couple where maybe it kind of glitched out a little.
Yeah, so whenever you see a frame that, a schedule update that's late or missing, could be an indication that there's a problem.
A dropped frame or something.
But here you see it's pretty regular.
Yeah,
and we always
not too many of them there.
So
you probably wouldn't notice much problem there.
Yeah, anymore. And we saw the weather app launch, and we didn't see any glitching or freezing frames or stuff like that.
Looked okay, but if you consistently see a lot of those missing, then I think you'd see
it. You would see.
That
yeah,
would be
the
visible.
User would feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just go back to what I wanted to show here is the CPU usage attributed graph. Mm. And let's open the table at the same time. So I have a lot of color here. Mm-hmm. But basically, what you're seeing here is a breakdown of the CPU usage by what the framework is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So as mentioned, you have your UI declared in the XAML file. Mm-hmm. And then the framework will do the composition. It will lay out your components on the screen.
Yeah.
It will update surfaces. And you can see how much CPU is taken for every of those operations. And we can sort. So at the top, I have my UI thread.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 seconds of CPU usage. Let's zoom at the beginning when I'm launching the app. And so we want to focus on the right process, though. So let's bring up our process here, msnweather.exe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the other ones.
Filter 2 selection.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, here I have all the CPU usage from my process. And if I expand that, I see all the activities. So there's some activity on my UI thread directly that's not attributed to the framework itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see there's frame operations, pointer input, render walk. There's the good documentation. I don't want to go through all and explain. But it tells me where there's a bottleneck.
Right.
So if we were to look at an HTML-based app, you would get the same kind of graph,
mm-hmm.
but the breakdown would be different because the framework is not doing the same kind of thing.
I see.
If you were doing a lot of composition, a lot of layout work, probably an indication that there's a problem with your UI itself, and you should simplify it or look at which UI component is causing a problem when it's being interacted with or rendered on the screen.
Now, if you pick the wrong provider, say you have a XAML app and you pick the HTML tracing, you just probably wouldn't get any output from that.
So you have some background XAML apps running. Other apps on the system.
But the one you care about, you wouldn't see
anything.
Any data.
Okay. It would just be empty, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Or you would get some data, but for other processes, but you wouldn't see your process.
The process
you care
about. Yeah. Right. Good to know.
So that's... that's the high-level view of the graphs that are interesting here. So DWM frame rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
GPU utilization, breakdown of CPU usage
by
activity within the framework.
Mm-hmm.
That's not directly attributed to the code you're running, but really the impact that your UI structure has on performance.
Yeah, I guess that's something kind of worth calling out, too, is that this is sort of a global OS trace. So even though you're focusing on your app here, there could be other things going on the system that impact it
as well.
So maybe background activity. So
contention from other processes,
disk is busy for some reason. So you'd be able to see that sort of global view of the system.
Yeah.
Even if it's impacting your app, the cause may not be your app.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Right. And the reason why this is interesting as a view as well is if you look at the CPU usage sample graph with the call stacks, it might be super difficult to interpret because the CPU activity will go deep into all those libraries or framework, software layers,
right.
And you're trying to diagnose what's going on, and you don't see any of your code there, because it's all framework code being executed.
Yeah, you make one function call, and then you know it goes down 30 layers deep.
And there are other graphs. So once you know that there's a problem with your UI, there are other graphs that you can use to diagnose which component exactly in the UI is causing the problem, right. Whether it's a div in an HTML app or some XAML declared component, you can easily spot where the problem is. And we might go back to this in details in future episodes. So the other thing I wanted to show is the fact that we have an assessment as well in the ADK to measure the launch time of an app. So method, right, is useful because it's generic. It can be applied to any scenario. Launch time, clicking in the UI, navigating in your app, and spot any responsiveness problem. But if you want to automate, let's say you're an IT pro, you preloaded your system with a lot of apps, or you're an OEM and you add your own first-party apps plus third-party apps, and you want to measure are those apps slow to launch? Right.
Yeah.
I click an app, I want it to be right there.
Within
1 second. Right.
Right. I mean, obviously the weather app loaded fast, but I've certainly seen apps. In fact, I have some apps on my machine, here at work that they're like in-house, like IT kind of apps, and I launch them, and they sometimes just take forever.
So you could automate that process of testing those apps instead of doing it manually. There's an assessment in the ADK called Windows Store App Performance.
Okay.
And if you click Configure here, you can specify, you can add a filter. So by default, it will launch and measure the launch time of all the apps on the system. But let's say you only want to test your app or the weather app, I just type in the filter here.
Oh, okay.
And you can also measure the resume time. Instead of the cold launch time. So if the app is suspended in the background because it hasn't been used for some time, and then you resume or go back to it, it will resume. It's not starting from scratch.
Right.
So by default, that's what the assessment measures, the suspend and resume time of the app. But if you want to close the app, launch it from a cold state, you can click on the checkbox here.
It
says restart each Windows Store app. And then it will close the app and relaunch it in a loop for the number of iterations you've put here. So if you want to do some outlier detection, you want to make sure that the launch time is consistent. Put 20 iterations there. And at the end, it gives you an average, but you can look at the individual iterations, see if you have outliers. For example, let's say you have network dependencies in the launch path. Mm-hmm. Which is not recommended, right?
Right, which may be the problem with mine, I'm betting. Yeah.
So maybe the network is not pegged all the time, but you may catch once in a while those dependencies when the network is busy, and you would see the performance go, or the launch time go up and performance go down.
Right.
So that's how you would configure the assessment to relaunch, and then assess one Windows Store app at a time. By default, the assessment will go through the list of all the apps that match this filter, and then go back to the beginning of the list and do another iteration. If you want to test weather app three times, and then the sports app three times, and then the travel app three times,
you
would click that checkbox and would assess one app at a time. In the past we had some issues where the apps are still in the background, right? If you just suspend them,
right.
So you might bump into memory pressure issues. So if you want to avoid that, you can click that. When you test a large number of apps at the same time.
Yeah, so I can imagine this would be a good thing for app developers because this kind of gives them a framework to automatically
launch
the app many times and then get an average performance.
Yes. Yeah. But it's just focused on one single scenario, right? In the future, it might be interesting to add more scenarios.
Yeah.
But it's hard to automate, right? Because every app is different.
Right.
Yeah. So you cannot have a standard workload. here. So you run this, and then you would get some results. So let me open those here. And you'll get a standard, you know, Windows Assessment Console XML file. You can open it in the tool. And here it is. So I had, in that job, I had multiple other assessments. But basically, I care about the Windows Store App Performance node here. And in the Windows Store App Details, in that case, I was testing all the Bing apps. So all the Inbox, Microsoft Apps, Finance, News, Sports, and Weather. And I have the activation duration average. So they're pretty quick to activate, right?
Right, right.
So activation is when you're there's a function you can overload to handle suspension and resuming, right? So activation is when you're resumed.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that the UI was fully rendered in 200 milliseconds, right? There might be other things happening.
Okay.
You can open the trace to see the whole timeline, but you can also expand here. And you get detail metrics. So lunch cold, that's the activation time, 188. So it matches that value up here. With the new version of Windows 10, some apps also log an event called visible complete. So that means when the UI is fully visible and the rendered has been completed. And as you can see, this is much longer than 200 milliseconds.
And this was something added in the anniversary edition.
Anniversary update, yeah.
Came out this year.
Yeah, so if you use the anniversary update version of the EDK on the matching OS build, for some apps, you would get that visible complete event. You also have the suspend event. So this is basically when we close the app and the app gets notified, right? And this is pretty quick, but here we care about those two values, activation and visible complete. And we have the matching traces. So let's say we take a look at the sports app. So sports app iteration 3. Let me open that. And I would get the same views we've just discussed. The XAML or the HTML providers. So in the under the video, you had XAML frame details, HTML frame details. Since we don't know whether or not the app is HTML or whether it's no XAML, we enable both.
It just did both.
Yeah, the assessment does both.
Okay.
And now if we would zoom in, visible complete. Whoops. Let me select this, zoom. And we have the computation, KPI, so again, the same. Views we've seen before that we love. We can focus on our app, and you see, it takes some time to be visible and launch. Let me zoom in again. But on the CPU side, there's really nothing happening here.
Right. So what's the delay?
So what's the delay here?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the disk. The disk. If we look at the small view here, there's really nothing. There's absolutely nothing. On the XAML frame detail. There's some amount of work, but really, there's not a lot happening there that could explain why it's taking such a long time without any CPU activity. But we also have the communications. As I mentioned, try to avoid network dependencies, right, in the critical path. Here, the app was usable, right, and it's 1 second to launch. But we can see here all the resources that were accessed by the app.
Oh, it even shows you the websites it was.
Yeah, all the URLs. So, here there's no activity up until we reach that point. And if we look at the communication, this is where that sports service, apexbing.com, blah, 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 blah. It's pretty long.
It's pulling some.
Yeah, it's pulling some resources from the internet. And it takes, about 600 milliseconds here, 700 milliseconds. So that's why it took a long time to render the full UI here. But the activation was quick, so the user was able to see something quite rapidly. But for the UI to be Totally visible and complete.
Totally visible.
It took 1 second because of those network dependencies here.
Okay. That's, yeah. So that's not too bad, 1 second. But if you see that 10 seconds, then yeah, maybe yeah. you're...
And you have, like, I don't know, 500 URLs being accessed, not just four or three. Yeah. I've seen all of those cases where, yeah. I mean, it's pulling all kinds of stuff from the web while rendering the initial UI. Mm. And it's doing a lot of updates. Every time it pulls in a new resource, updates the UI. Yeah. So that causes a lot of GPU activity at the same time.
Definitely.
So yeah. then you have no responsiveness problems. The user cannot interact with the app.
That's where you kind of need to rethink yeah. how your app starts up.
Yeah, how it starts up, how the UI is structured,
yeah,
and all those things. And we can come back to those topics in the future and we drill down into specific UI problems.
Right.
But that's the gist of it, right? It's
yeah.
It's straightforward when you know what you do, but mm-hmm. it's all reusing the same views which we've seen in the past: CPU, disk, yeah. network, yeah. And we added today, the XAML, HTML, CPU attributed graphs, DWM, GPU,
right?
And again, pretty good resources, videos, training videos from past build conferences.
Okay.
On Channel 9, and we'll point you guys to those videos.
Links to those.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's plenty out there if people want to dig in more, but this is great. So great for app developers. Also I can imagine this being useful for sort of IT admins and
You may have your own corporate UWP apps, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to make sure they're snappy as any other app in the store.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Make sure your users have a good experience.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, is that all we got?
Yeah,
that's
it.
So that's great. Yeah.
Top level overview.
Top level, yeah.
So we can use this now as a starting point to build onto that topic and go deeper in the future. But we would basically be using those same graphs and just drill down and try to look, find root causes of specific problems.
Some scenarios.
Scenario based analysis.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we have. Plenty viewers who are very interested in this stuff, so I'm sure we'll get some comments and questions. And if people do have comments and questions, they can email us, as always, defragtools@microsoft.com, or you can just put them in the show notes right down below there, and we'll do our best to answer them. If you have other ideas for things you want to see in the future,
If you have specific issues, that you would like us to look at and do some analysis, feel free to give us a shootout.
Absolutely. We've got Sylvain as the performance expert here. One of the performance experts.
One of many.
One of many.
The front-facing one.
The front-facing performance expert at Microsoft. Yeah. Good stuff. So again, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.